The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Allison.
Yes?
You're out of your sick room.
I am.
You're out of quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better. I was in the hole for a while.
Quarantined in the backyard hole.
Mm-hmm.
Someone did suggest that.
Now I'm out. No. I've watched a lot of TV, so if you need any recommendations.
I'm sure people will be asking. On tonight's show, many, many years ago, I became podcast pals with Clint Granberry from OK Talk.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a round table or secret society kind of thing? Like, well, you probably can't tell me.
Yeah. It's
This is like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Exactly.
But not the movie, like the comic book.
Way back then, we recorded a 2-episode thing that was very, very long that I entitled The Great Psychedelic Synchronicity Ramble. And it proved that I think Clint and I we do well together. We're good on the mic together. But things being what they are, and Clint being who he is, quite
mm-hmm.
honestly,
yeah.
He disappears for long periods of time, which we address in tonight's show. And we've done some other stuff since then. But this conversation, which is going to be broken up over several shows because it was insanely long, I think we talked from about 9 p.m. until 4 a.m., something like that. Once it's edited down, I think it's probably going to be 3 or 4 shows. So this is going to be a series. It's not going to be every week for 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll break it up and we'll kind of slow drip it out over the next few months or whatever. But this is the most like the Great Psychedelic Synchronicity Ramble that we've done since then, this kind of free-ranging talk. We were catching up. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. We were comparing notes and a lot of interesting stuff came up.
I do remember like maybe one of the first weeks of the pandemic, we got on the phone and we're having a long conversation with Clint and it was hilarious. It was like one of the first moments that I had laughed since the pandemic started. And here we are 4 years later.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Before we get to that, though, I would like to thank Brian M. and Karen P., both of them gave PayPal donations.
Oh, that's sweet.
With an eye towards funding the Indiana trip.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you very, very much. That's a huge help. Obviously, if you want to do that, there's a paypal.me link in the show notes. You can click on that and leave a PayPal donation, the amount of your choice. That's in the show notes of every episode at strangefamiliars.com. Once again, thank you, Brian M. and Karen P. Very generous and a huge help. Thank you. All right, let's get started with this conversation with Clint.
Okay, talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the depths of the past, from parts unknown, a voice which many of you thought you may never hear again on Strange Familiars, I'm happy to welcome back Mr. Clinton Granbury. How you doing tonight?
What's up? Great, Tim. Good to talk to you. I hate to say that the voice that they may have thought that they would never hear again probably doesn't sound as good as usual. That's quite literally because, much like Art Bell back in the day, I am now lodged securely in a bunker some 85 feet under the Earth's crust. No, man, it's good to talk to you. We talked a little bit earlier today.
And
yeah. This is something that I've been wanting to do for a little while. It was not my intention to go this long without talking to anyone. Circumstances sort of beyond my control kind of forced it that way, and hence why I'm currently on my cell phone with you right now rather than studioing it up.
Well, I have to let you know, and I told you a little bit of this before, we do share some listeners, and people are very concerned, and they will often reach out to me, like a few times a year at least. I get messages from people, have you heard from Clint? What's Clint doing? And for the past year or so, my answer's been, I don't know. I don't know. So what's up, man? You got to let everybody in a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, has my mom contacted you? Because I did see I missed a call from her earlier today.
I took a drink right as you said that. I almost spit all over the computer. No, she did not.
I'm back, baby. I'm back. So this is interesting because I've been going over this timeline with a dear friend quite a bit. It has been my intention to sort of update everyone as to what occurred in my life that seemingly made me disappear. It has been, I think technically it's been exactly a year since I put the last podcast up.
That seems right.
But this sort of goes back 24 months to February of 22. It seems like now like lifetimes ago, but I would have to say at the beginning of February when I had a very distinct epiphany about what I wanted to do with the pod and how to help it evolve, and I made a declaration about what my purpose was on this planet, about the reason why I chase the scary stuff in the darkness, and immediately had some of my most profound and, dare I say, even clairvoyant moments in my life, from going to the Kilo Monument, being out there, having this like impression of this, like I just knew the story of this witch that lived down these woods, and I like so much so that I sat in my car and recorded it, and you know, 2 days later was out there with our mutual friend Christian and found that broom, which is again one of the stranger things ever, and a couple days later walk into a restaurant bar and run into this person who I was supposed to have helped with a very serious paranormal situation 7 years prior to. And it really did feel to me that I was affecting the universe around me, just as I preach that we are all able to do. About mid-February of 22, I don't remember a time when I've been happier. I mean, I had spent the second half of 2021 on the road following the rock and roll band known as The Fish from Vermont. And as COVID was keeping everybody else in their houses and had forced me to split up a relationship with someone who lived in Canada, I hit the road and drove 18,000 plus miles by myself, crossed, you know, coast to coast, man. It was one of the most liberating experiences of my life. So here I was, February, had met this person, had a really solid friend group, and things were good. I don't really know. It's really difficult to kind of pick up when this all started, because little did I know I was being targeted. You know, you're a journalist, as it were. You know, you ever see that thing on Facebook that talks about, you know, for your page, that if you are a person of, you know, a certain kind of journalist, there are certain protections that you can have that Facebook will put in. Anyone out there that uses an iPhone, if you go through your privacy and security settings on your phone, there's a place that will lock down your phone, which basically like cuts off its communication with networks and Bluetooth and the like. It says specifically on there that this is for people who are the target of specific cyberware attacks. Most people will never experience anything like this. What I didn't know was that at that time, I was already targeted. And I'm not going to go through a lot of details, because honestly, a lot of this is like reliving a rape of sorts. But it manifested itself in that there was money that was stolen, transferred accounts, question marks on people's faces at the bank, question marks on people's faces with the local authorities. They said it, again, this is 2 years ago, said it looked like my iPhone had been quote-unquote cloned. They were telling me that they hadn't seen something like this before. And it wasn't until this past year, about midway through it, that Apple finally did admit to the things that I was experiencing in 2022.
Oh, wow.
I put out the podcast that I did, and up until February of last year, to wrap all of that up, this is what I will tell you occurred. I thought, man, I was a victim. I do not use the term victim. I was a target of identity theft, and it sucked, right? But that was about it. Until July of 2023, I had quite literally nearly broken my phone into a million pieces. And I was about to go to East Texas to trade it in for a new one. And I was finishing up a project on my Mac here in my home studio. And in 2021, I had got this program that was called iMazing. It's used to back up phones, like complete backups. Like it'll take your iPhone and turn all of your text messages into PDFs. You know, I thought it was great, right? It's a way to like, you know, completely securely take everything that's on your phone, lock it down, put it into, you know, so that you can trade it in or wipe it or whatever. I had actually paid for the app. I think it's free once, but I had paid for it for multiple uses. And so the last thing I was going to do, again, this was July 9th of 2023, before I left, was I was going to back up my phone one final time. And it had probably been since late 2021 since I'd used it at all. And so I pull up the app on my Mac, and you know, it's telling me to enter the password that was sent to me in the initial email, which probably should have been a red flag. But when I retrieved said password and logged into the app, there was a picture of my phone which this thing will back your phone up so much as that whatever is your screensaver on your phone, it shows you that. Mm-hmm. Like the skull on the tree from Devil's Creek was on my phone. This is the thing that they use to like jailbreak phones. Like that's how in depth of a backup it is. Well, there's my picture of my phone the last time I had backed it up. Underneath that is a picture of my older phone that I had used the first time that I had gotten the program. And right underneath that was somebody else's phone with a picture of a person who I did not recognize and looked like he, for lack of a better word, was of a different nationality. Mm-hmm. And my heart rate is increasing. And I clicked on the little information button next to his phone, and it opens up this giant window, which again is not, this isn't just like the serial number of the phone. This is everything. It's the metadata. And it had said right underneath there, it said last backed up September of 21 underneath this guy's phone. And so I turned the recorder on, the screen recorder on my Mac. And I am scrolled because there's no way I'm going to write all this stuff down. And I'm like,
right.
I'm thinking, my head is, I mean, you can imagine, I'm going a mile a minute in my head. I'm like, this is all making sense now.
Right, sure.
And I'm scrolling down and I'm scrolling down. And probably 30 seconds later, my phone dings and it says, someone's trying to sign into your iCloud. It dings again and says, someone's trying to sign into your Gmail accounts. My screen on my Mac flashes and says, someone's viewing your screen. And as I'm dragging the mouse across my screen, somebody grabbed it.
Ooh.
And I jumped up. I yanked the cord out of the wall. I'm standing here thinking I'm about to have a heart attack. I took like two steps towards the door, turned back around, ripped my Wi-Fi out of the wall. And as I said, I was supposed to go to East Texas that day. I walked outside. My neighbor was in the yard. I asked him if I could use his phone and called my mom and was like, I got him. I'm not going to be down there today, but I found him. And I can't imagine what my heart rate was at that point. I walked back in the house and sat here and practically stared at my computer for a good 12 hours before I got the courage to plug it in and start to go through it. Look, all I'm going to say is this. This person was an administrator on my home network. Everything that was in my house was accessible. I probably, in the length of time that Google has had Gmail, I've probably had 15 email accounts. And every single one of them were signed in on the Mac that I could remember that I had. Obviously with the keychain and with the passwords. I mean, this is a brand new, bought it in 2021 Mac. Full-fledged. It's my studio computer sitting right in here in the middle of my home. Well, a lot of things obviously began to fall into place. There would be bank accounts that, I mean, we're talking about like 401ks and stuff that I didn't even remember having that go back to jobs that I had when I was first starting out my career that, you know, had been drained of funds. And how do you get that? And it still freaks me out to this day. I don't know how to tell people that, there wasn't a day that went by pretty much the rest of the year that something didn't click in my head that thought like, oh, that's probably what that was about. You know, you obviously knew what I was doing when I left network radio, mm-hmm. you know, full time in 2019, that I was the producer of the number two most streamed talk show in the world. I was the executive producer. The thing that really really stopped me down was the fact that, you know, the Gmail account that we used for that radio program, I created. Which, you know, when you create a Google account, like, it's tied to something. It's right. tied to either your phone or it's tied to, you know, a previous Gmail account. Mm-hmm. So I spent weeks starting to see what I could pull back. And it was a constant push and pull. I mean, I'm talking about, I would go into Gmail, start changing passwords, and moments later, it's being changed. And the technology that is used, there's a really good report that was put out in September of last year. It's kind of the cybersecurity, like, quarterly review that discusses the concept of cloning of phones. But basically, imagine it like this. Every single thing that was sent to my phone was being routed to another device. Mm-hmm. My phone only was a proxy. Mm. So if I was getting phone calls from financial institutions, I was not seeing them. When there was, you know, everything says, get the two-factor authentication, get two-factor authentication. Well, if I quite literally was changing things on my phone and they were like, we're sending you the code, and it would never come. Mm. It's not like we're running a porn studio over here, but I mean, I'm talking about, like, there were cameras, at least three IP addresses set up for webcamming in my house. Here's one of my best pieces of advice to people. If your bank uses your voice for verification, change banks. Because what do I do for a living? I record myself.
Right, yeah.
There's an entire hard drive full of my voice.
Yeah,
and an entire hard drive full of my face.
I think with AI, they only need you to read a couple paragraphs, and they can just reproduce your voice.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're not even talking about, you know, Face ID, you know?
Right.
That's simple. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, the reason that I didn't go full ham is that one of those evenings I kind of remembered that at some point in maybe May or June, I had gotten an email like that was in my inbox, not like in my trash or whatever, that was basically like a ransom email. And it wasn't like, oh, you know, the king of Saudi Arabia's, you know, had a granddaughter who's, oh, you know, it was, hey, we know exactly who you are. And we have access to all of this stuff. And we're going to release all of it unless you do what we say. And I mean, it was one of those things where I sort of like Googled it, like if that was like a scam, and kind of ran across something and just like, you know, blocked the email address and deleted it. One of the most liberating things about leaving the job that I had, which was a 80-hour a week, 24/7, one of the most stressful things you could ever imagine job, was that I didn't have to check my email. I mean, I was a person who my job was to remember the internet and read it 6 hours a day, know everything that's going on in the world everywhere, and contact everyone that's anybody and be contacted by anyone that's anybody, from book publishers to movers, shakers, political, all of it. And my main Gmail account had been just that. I would call it like my archive, because I had been a talk radio producer for, well, since 2004, mm-hmm. in Dallas-Fort Worth. So if you needed somebody that could talk about weed eaters, I would just, in my Gmail, search for weed eater and find somebody that was the expert. I mean, I was at the top of my profession because of that kind of thing. And when I left, I didn't spend all day trying to look at all the emails that Ted Cruz's people would send me repeatedly, even though I tried to unsubscribe from so many random political email lists. It would never work. But I just didn't spend any time in those email accounts, you know? And as I was sort of going back through and trying to figure out what was left, what had been done. That's when I started noticing that, we're talking about like when I was on fish tour, there would be emails in that email account from, you know, Kroger and, you know, whatever store. But there are all these emails pitching political things, or just, you know, some politician makes a statement about something, their press secretary sends out a press release to us. It was not uncommon to get 4,000 to 5,000 emails a day. Wow. In that email account.
Wow.
And when I was going through that account, I started to notice that in the fall of 2021, when I am firmly planted on the West Coast watching a band blow my mind, that, you know, they weren't opening the Kroger emails, but the ones from Ted Cruz had all been viewed, right? Like someone had gone through and was opening emails. And I think the closest connection to all of it is, like I said, I did the Gmail account for the radio show that I worked for, and the Cumulus network was breached in 2018, because that's when they started the really hardcore like cybersecurity stuff. And I mean, it's very ironic that one of those podcasts that I have done within the last couple of years, there is audio of me at the studio answering the phone, and it being someone telling me they are from Apple technical support, and they are were quite literally trying to get me to go over to the computer and type in some web address, you know, and I was screwing around with the guy and recorded it, and he got so mad that he told me to stick my 13 Apple devices up my mother. I don't know if it's the same people, but you know, that's how they do. So it became a situation where not only was I don't really, you know, I'm an open book, bro. Like my closet, like the skeletons are gone. I was trying to protect the people that I've been closest with in terms of why I didn't pick my Mac up and walk it down to the, you know, I think they closed the Mac store here in Dallas, but like I didn't take it down to the police station. Because I'm not going to take it down to the police station. Because I don't care what they say. There's people other than me that have been in and around that computer, if that makes sense. So that is pretty much it in a nutshell. And the interesting thing is how just as all of that was occurring and really starting to set its hooks in me without me really knowing it, at the same time, my experiences in doing this thing that we do sort of went turbocharged.
That makes sense. Things get weird. They tend to get weird on all fronts.
Right. And, you know, it's really funny to do the thing that we do. Going and yelling into the darkness and clearly having things yell back at you.
Sometimes literally.
Oh, I mean, quite literally. Again, I wholeheartedly want people to understand that the reason that I do the thing that I do different than anybody else is because, you know, just like you, I'm not BSing people. It's like, if it happens to me, I have more ammo that I have not fired than most people have ever heard. The things that do trickle out from me sometimes are immediate, or they are sometimes just seem so personal, because a lot of things get personal. But it's a weird dynamic to go from being this trusted newsman or whatever the heck I was, and then also be like, oh yeah, but at the same time, I do scream in the woods and mythical creatures seem to holler back at me. Or at least their girl does, and then they get pissed. So how's that one for where you been, Clint?
Man, That's terrifying. Honestly, I'd much rather deal with a giant monkey in the woods than that.
Man, yeah. I had communication with the closest people in my life that was being fabricated.
Oh, wow. See, so this kind of explains, there was a weirdness to your absence, right? And I think that's why several people were coming to me. They're like, well, what's going on? Like, there must be a reason for it. And my end answer is like, I don't know. Like we can speculate, you know, I don't know. Did he go on tour with Fish again? I don't know, you know? I have no clue, but...
It was immediate. I mean, it was immediate. The summer of 22, when I was dealing with the initial account situation and the chaos of all of that, you know, that was one thing, but I, you know, returned and was talking. I mean, you can, if you go back and listen to those episodes where I'm talking about the things, you can gather that something pretty serious has gone on. I mean, I have, you know, like my soul sister is on there and she's specifically saying, you know, it's a really serious attack, what's happened. But again, I think more than anything, it was the magnitude, the depth of it was nowhere on my radar. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds crazy. And, you know, I'm a different kind of dude, man. Like, number one, it is not in my vocabulary to be a victim, period. It's the opposite end of the spectrum of how I live my life. I don't roll that way. That means that when something super aggressive is happening, maybe I deal with it differently. The God's honest truth about the shutting down was that I shut down to make sure that the people who were in jeopardy, quote unquote, so to say, because of their associations with me, were cool until we could take care of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that was really more than anything. And so I probably right now have, I don't know, 200 contacts in my phone. My contact list, this isn't me bragging. This is my life. I don't know what else to say. But, you know, that's like less than a tenth of what it normally is. Mm-hmm. And so there would be text messages that I would get from people that I wouldn't even know. When you have something like this happen to you, you also stop paying attention to a lot of it. Text messages. I know I got text messages. I'm pretty sure that some of them were from people that I consider homeboys. Like, I'm sure Jared texted me. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure people who listen to the pod, I'm sure people who are friends of mine that I didn't think about, they were like, oh, what's up? I was directing most of the ones that were just, you know, unidentified away. But again, I wasn't speaking on my phone a lot and I wasn't using it a lot. There's some crazy things that people are able to do in this world. I mean, one of my favorite Gmail accounts, they turned it into a brand account, which is basically like the equivalent of turning it into like an admin, which meant that like I had no power over it. Now it's a brand.
Wow.
So there was a Fish Twitter handle that I had that was associated with a Gmail, that was associated with a YouTube, of course, that was like really popular and didn't have anything to do with this thing. And wondering why I was just so frustrated, I deleted all of it. Like, think about it. I'm not speaking on my phone. I'm not, because I don't know who's listening.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I will say this. I talked a lot of shit to my phone just on the off chance that he was listening sometimes.
Yeah, see, I remember it's at some point in there you were like, I don't remember if you texted me or something, but you're like, or maybe you emailed me and you're like, I need your phone number. And I was like, what the hell? Like,
what is happening?
You know, I just couldn't figure out what was going on. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, I've got like notebooks, like actual notebooks sitting right here with people that I have been friends with for 30 years with their phone number written down in it.
To be honest, I at one point was thinking, like, is he in jail or rehab?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of those things, too. No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, but that's that's where I was like, okay, because, like,
yeah.
you're like, I don't have my phone. I'm like, okay, well, where do you not have your phone? Oh, jail or rehab. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I was thinking. I was like, well, I'm not going to ask. He'll tell me if he wants to tell me. But, wow. No,
Huntsville, cell block D, bitch. Drop some money in my commissary, motherfucker. No.
it all makes sense now. But, wow, mm-hmm. Man, that's horrifying. That is horrifying.
I'm really lucky, man. Like, I live an incredible life. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I do this thing. I try to be the best of me that I can be. When I initially sort of had this, like, I froze, like, when most of my things were frozen, initially I viewed it as a blessing because I took that energy that I would use to, you know, previously, like, spend time looking up stories on the internet, reading everything that I could to actually reading a backlog of, you know, the important things that, like, we discussed. I have a really good ability for reading and retention, and I'm also pretty good at taking things that are difficult to understand and putting them in a way that people can get them, that I know that aren't going to take the time or really have the, you know, attention span to read some of these things. And I spent a lot of time in that arena, or, you know, reading for lack of a better word for it, you know, the occult, the esoteric, the secret history of the world, and figuring things out that I have been trying to figure out my whole life. And I all of a sudden had the time to do it. I had a really tiny friend circle because of the general, like, cutoff from contacts. But there were some people that were real instrumental. I spent a lot of time in the woods sort of grappling with all of it. But when I mean to tell you that I made this, at least this public statement to people that I know, I'm not sure if I actually said it out loud on the podcast or whatever, but I'm the guy that would say, you know, isn't it interesting that darkness is just the absence of light, you know, and that there's really nothing there, at least that we can't go at. I'll just put it this way, man, like the darkness, the thing that I've been yelling at, it clapped back hardcore and was like, what do you think about it now? Hmm. I told you earlier today that I was like, I abandoned myself to wonderment multiple times because I was sort of startled by the way that I was interacting with the universe. And I think probably a lot of it had to do with my disconnecting, which makes a lot of sense. You know, I was away from screens and away from that stuff.
It's so important. I was talking about this, I think both on Strange Familiars and on the Flowered Path, but where did Jesus say to go to pray? Go out in the wilderness.
Yep.
You know, there's a message.
You mean he didn't say get on Instagram?
No, I don't remember that one. No, this is, go to a you know, remote place. He taught by example, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
If you like Strange Familiars, if you like what we do here, and you want to help us make more Strange Familiars and support the work we do, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All of our patrons get the weekly shows commercial-free, plus extra episodes every month. We do at least one. Sometimes we do more for our patrons. An exclusive episode just for our patrons. Again, it's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There's also a way to sign up via Apple Podcasts. It's called Patron of the Strange there, and our patrons on Apple Podcasts also get the weekly shows commercial-free and the extra shows monthly.
Interestingly enough, that you brought up Jesus, known as the Christ, the Son of God. I have a very dear friend. You have heard her on a podcast before, named Julie, who I met on Fish Tour in Atlanta in 2021. And we got to be really good friends. She's a sharp girl and very inquisitive. She's from the Northeast, but living in the South now. The conversation on one of those pods, I think maybe it's the first one back that I released in 22, we're having a discussion about where I'm talking to her about Jesus because she didn't grow up in the culture or anything like that, and it sort of made like an offhanded comment about him. And I found myself, and again, you're talking to a guy that, I mean, I've been in the pulpit, man. I don't know, I've got paper on the wall that says I know what the Bible's talking about. And I spent a lot of time, again, in these ancient texts, sort of figuring out the mystery of the mysteries, and a lot of it surrounding that was the Son God, returned. And I'll just go ahead and make my first public statement on this, that I have finished a book. And unless the publishing house just absolutely refuses, it will be known as I Am Jesus, ! And You Can Too, A Guide to Becoming the God You Created Yourself to Be. Hopefully that will be out later this year, along with that little thing known as the Devil's Creek, as I finally got some help up in this place, and
Well, that's the number two question I get asked. So right after, like, where's Clint? Have you heard from him? Is Devil's Creek ever going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was at that place, too. You know, it's weird because, you know, when your life sort of revolves around a thing so much and then time passes because of difficulties with that thing, I would say, number one, if anybody ever had any questions about whether or not that place is as horrifying as I have tried to explain to people that it is, the fact that it has taken this long for us to get to this point should be a pretty good indicator that that place is legit. The fact that the people that were involved in the project don't speak to one another.
Right.
You have intimate knowledge of a lot of what occurred.
Yeah, we've hinted about this before, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's safe to say that what people expect this movie to be and what it is are going to be different things.
Right. Well, I mean, exactly like the place itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was, you know, I thought I was going into one thing, and it turned into something quite different.
Is it safe to say that if you think this is just going to be a Bigfoot movie...
Sorry, bro.
Yeah. It's not... I mean, there's an element of that, but it's not really what it is. Is that safe to say?
Right. True.
Yeah,
1,000%. Okay. Listen, I will be very, very upfront with people that don't get it twisted. Not only do I believe, like I know... Now, what it is that I know, you know, that's one of those questions, right? It's like we had that conversation about the, you know, if you think it's living and breathing and having babies in the woods, you probably might be a little bit disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
The other, as you have referred to it, is very much real and active. And that thing is sort of a, what would you, I mean, that, it seems to be its emissary, at least in the woods, in a lot of ways, right? Mm-hmm. It seems to be the one that maybe it's a foot soldier for the other side or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I totally get why people do just think that we're trying to discover something that's not been discovered.
Sure.
And
yeah. And
I would agree that that's what we are trying to do. It's
right.
Just
not in the way they think.
Right. we have been trying to discover what we...
I always say, for the hunter that sees one walk by him in the woods, or for the person who's driving down the road and it crosses in front of them, I don't blame them for a second for saying, no, this is an animal, it's just an animal, that's all it is, it's an animal, because what they saw was an animal. But
right.
Get to the people who have them coming onto their property or around their property regularly, and they will tell you strange stories. And the longer they're there, the stranger the stories get.
Right. You and I actually quote you quite a bit, and you're shot it with a shotgun and it exploded into 10,000 points of light or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Either that one or the blue urine story. The blue, you know me, I have to mention the blue urine. It's just this.
And again, tell me, you know, I can edit this if this is out of line, but part of, you know, when you talk about the people that were involved in that project aren't speaking anymore, part of this contention was that a certain group of people involved were insistent on this being an Ape in the Woods Bigfoot movie.
Right, yeah.
And essentially tried to take control over your production and force it into being that.
Absolutely. I don't have any problem saying that there was nefarious actions and occurrences, and yet all of the things that you know intimately, but that we know that there was a sort of like a coup attempt, mm-hmm. right? That mm-hmm. would be a good way to put it.
Yeah, sure.
For the overall production of the thing. Do not let that in any way, shape, or form twist it. That I, to this day, saw something there that I have never seen before or since.
Mm-hmm.
That horrified me, and witnessed a person of great renown in our community see something very similar while we were recording a podcast, and you can hear it on the OK Talk feed. If you want to investigate, go listen to the podcast that we did live from location, and near the end, you can hear exactly what I'm talking about. To this day, I still have not experienced anything like that since. I will also say, I kind of hinted around this, but I have been back to the property, in fact, in 2021.
This I did not know.
Well, I was hanging out on the edge of the universe at the place known as the Gorge at George, Washington State, eastern side of Washington, which is not the Pacific Northwest. The Pacific Northwest quickly goes away and Washington becomes a high desert, and there's a concert venue that is hanging on the Columbia River Gorge, and it is my favorite place maybe in the United States. Fish from Vermont were playing three musical concerts there, and after the third night I drove over to the Devil's Creek with no idea what to expect, zero, including who would be there. The gate was open. There was a different name on the thing. And I walked up with my video camera rolling and met people who knew quite well the legend of the place in terms of the people who lived there. And the first thing the guy said to me was, "You're not going to tell me someone's been murdered up here, are you?" I mean, maybe not recently. Yeah, that's even a lie. I mean, all you got to do is, you know, I've told you about the news stories about the place.
Yeah.
Sidebar on this, I have referenced him many times before, but by far my favorite author, bar none, is Tom Robbins. If anyone is looking to read something that will make you think, make you laugh out loud, change your life kind of stuff, check out Tom Robbins, Another Roadside Attraction, Jitterbug Perfume, Still Life of the Woodpecker, Half Asleep in Frog Pajamas. Anyway, he's from the Seattle area. He's a rock star, sort of a cult author in the, you know, still alive, but did things his own way. You know, the term that we've discussed, that's the local term for the weird things in the woods up there? that I don't really want to say until the movie comes out, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
soon.
Yeah.
The Indians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has a poem titled that, and his first novel, Another Roadside Attraction, which is about the second coming, oddly enough, the second coming of the Jesus Christ to a flea circus and hot dog stand on the side of the road in rural Washington. And he's using the tribe names and everything. It's just bizarre. But that way off, far away, scary location is still knocks on my door regularly. I was reading from Another Roadside Attraction today. But yeah, no, the Devil's Creek. I'm really excited. There was a lot of push and pull for control. And what people don't understand is I'm the only one out on this cliff here. You know, we crowdfunded to shoot the movie, which we used every penny of it for shooting the movie. And I couldn't be prouder of the way it looks. There's going to be like, you know, probably a couple of days next week where we've, I mean, it's been 5 years, sort of do the 5 years later thing as we tell the story. I'm real excited. It's weird. It's a weird story. I don't know what else to say about it. It's not going to be like reading a newspaper from 1972 about what happened to the Clarksons up there on that hill.
Right, right. That's, I was getting to it. Like, anytime you truly get in the water with the other more than ankle deep, it's going to get weird. And if you're not with some really solid people, and I don't mean solid in the way of trustworthy, I don't mean solid in the way of, you know, honest, I mean sort of solidly locked down in whatever spiritual path they're on and whatever way they're that speaks to them, right? I'm a big one for, like, you know, follow the hum, right? What hums for me might not hum for you, but you got to follow the hum. I got to follow the hum, and maybe we're going to end up in the same place, but we might take different paths to get there. I don't know, but if they're not following the hum, right, for themselves, they're going to become unmoored. And I think that's where that contention comes in so often. Like I always point out, look at ghost hunting groups everywhere around the country. They are often, if not always, fighting. There's infighting. They're losing members. There's people are quitting. You know, there's drama. They're breaking off into new groups. They won't talk to each other. This is my place. You can't investigate here. All of this drama. Same with the Bigfoot world. Constant drama. This person hates this person. You know, this, how dare this person's doing this and doing that. And I think this drama comes with the other. And I think it will unmoor you if you're not following the hum.
Well, listen, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think that this is a basic way to look at it, is that you're dealing with things that are not us. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the envy of everything else that there is, because we are the combination of flesh and spirit. Mm-hmm. And the other, whatever you want to say, from ghosts to angels to interdimensional fairy, whatever, they are not that. And the concept of anything that is not in the physical wishing that it could experience the flesh should give everyone a pretty good idea of why things that are detached can be manipulative, mm-hmm, and so hard for people to deal with. And I think a lot of people really, honestly, I was always interested in the weird, because some weird way it kind of proved to me that the whole spirituality thing was a thing, I think, when I was younger, mm-hmm, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would think that most people would like to just be like, oh, I want to know, you know, like, is there really something to all that? And if you're smart and it lets you know, like, run the other way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, I wouldn't advise anyone get involved in these kinds of things.
Yeah.
No wonder people tell other people's stories over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually being out in the bitch is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And scary and dark and disturbing. Mm-hmm. And you bring your work home with you, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm. There be monsters.
Yeah. I mean, a year ago, shout out to Monica, Miss Rollins. Shout out. I walked in from the grocery store and something was standing on my porch calling my name. And I turned my recorder on my phone, and I mean, I could hear him through the door, and I started to walk towards the door. And the funny thing is I ended up sending this recording to Monica, and she responded to me like, "Why did you open the door when it knocked?" And I was like, "It knocked?" And you can hear when right before I get to the door, it goes. And I open the door, and this is a new sensation that I've experienced. The sound of birds fluttering away. Like as if there's a perch above my door that opens out onto my patio, which there is not.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a place for a flock of seagulls to be hanging out above my door.
Right, right.
Like I open the door and that occurs. And I mean, I called her freaking out. I was like, they're here and they're calling my name. And do I know that that sounds crazy? Of course I do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, get at me, bro.
No.
like, come and hang.
There are things that my patrons get to hear that the general public doesn't because of that reason specifically. I'm pretty open. Like, I'll talk about stuff.
Pretty genius on your part.
There are things that I withheld even from my patrons for years because I thought it was just too wacky, right?
Right.
I can't add this on top of all the other stuff because this is too wacky.
Right. Like, what are we actually talking about here, you know?
I mean, you asking me for specifics?
No. I'm saying that is so. This was a conversation that Matt and I had in the studio after my initial Devil's Creek, and I was in Tyler, I want to say, at the Scythe Cemetery, and we had audio. And there was audio from that cemetery in Tyler that was mimicking the audio from Devil's Creek.
I remember that.
Yeah. And Matt looked at me and he was like, are we to suppose that the same things that are, and I, to be quite honest with you, and I wish he was here right now to, I love that guy more than he will ever know. I understand how it's difficult for him to deal with a lot of this, and I don't blame them. Again, run the other way if it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was one of the first times where it may have hit him that, like, whoa, this may be a whole nother thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we talking about? If that's what we're going to, you know, I mean, if it's calling you out. So I'll just go ahead and say it because you don't know. I don't think. So, you know, when I told you that, I had gone to this Kilo monument, you know, and like had the experience with this witch. I mean, that pod, the Witch of the Wailing Woods, and then the broom, and the video of the broom is on the YouTube page. It wasn't until October of last year that I went back out there again with Christian. I just texted you a picture of what was on the monument. And I was just going to let you tell the people what that looks like to you.
Let me look here.
Now, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, I have several nicknames, a lot of aliases. That's the way it is with an outlaw.
Clint, why did you send me a pic, dude?
One of those aliases is the Red Dragon.
Yes,
because
my friends
used to tell me, I would burn people's house to the ground. What's on that picture right there, bro?
There is a stuffed animal that appears to be a dragon. No question about it. It's a dragon.
Hadn't been in that place. I mean, was there in February of 22. That is October 10th of 2023.
Did I ever tell you my ongoing thing with stuffed animals?
We talked about it, and I thought about you. I was trying to remember what some of your your gifting exercises were. What was the stuffed animal? Was it your daughter's, like...
Yeah, so just real quickly, I was reading the BFRO accounts that were near me, and there was a place in Maryland that wasn't too far away from me. We had this very intense nighttime encounter where these people were sitting at this picnic table, and they said these creatures came up on either side of them, and they're like, it was just really intense, really scary, kind of intense. I thought, well, I can visit this place. I'm going to go there. First time I go there, I'm walking, and you... From the parking area, there's about a half-mile trail through the woods that leads up to the cemetery that's surrounded by woods, too. And I'm walking up to the cemetery the first time, and I get this really creepy feeling. And I don't see anything, but I just take my cell phone, and I start taking pictures all around me. Put my phone away. Get up to the cemetery. I find on three sides, north, west, and south, there are stuffed animals. The stuffed animals were Barney the Purple Dinosaur. Meant nothing to me, really, because the kids didn't even watch that when they were little. The other two was a walrus, which my kids had, and a gorilla, make of that what you will, that was wearing like boxer shorts. It was a Valentine's Day stuffed animal, which I bought for my daughter.
Right. That's right. It's so weird.
Right? And these were positioned, like, they weren't sitting on graves in the graveyard. I know people leave stuffed animals sometimes on graves for kids and stuff. This was not that. These were about 3 to 4 feet inside the woods, facing the graveyard, as if they were like guardians. So then I go to this other place. This guy takes me to this place, Bigfoot witness, 50 plus miles away to the west in the mountains. Very remote place called Harry Springs, H-A-I-R-Y. We still don't know why it's called that. We cannot find why it's called Harry Springs. But
what?
Yeah, yeah. We get there. And what do I see? I go to relieve myself off the side of the trail, and right off the side of the trail are the remains of a stuffed animal that looks all like burn up. This stuffed animal was my daughter's favorite. It was, she called it Pony. It was like the first stuffed animal we ever bought her when she was like two or three years old, something like that. It was that, not the one from that was specifically hers, but it was that design. It was there, out in the middle of the woods. Right, and this is a couple days after finding the stuffed animals at that place we call Kazoo's Woods. I go back,
jeez,
probably 2 years later, I'm back to this Kazoo's Woods, the first place with the cemetery, and the other stuffed animals are gone, and I find this time the remains of a stuffed animal. It was that same pony, again, in the woods there. And I'm like, what the heck is this, right? So... more years pass, like 2 more years pass, and we've gone there at night, and we've had stuff thrown at us, we've had stuff walk around the cemetery. We can't see whatever it is. It looks like we can hear it, sounds like it's, you know, 5 feet from us. We turn on lights, nothing's there. We're getting stones thrown at us. A friend of mine got us a rock thrown at her in a different cemetery, and we brought that with us, and we left it in that cemetery, like, hey, let's see what happens. Like, you know, the other threw this, let's give it back to him and see what happens. Well, my buddy Chad's with me that night. We go into the woods, and he says out loud, hey, I left you a gift up there. I would like something back. Don't do this, folks. Like, you don't, like, this is not the way to handle this. And I was very upset at him for doing this. But as soon as he says that, I would like something back, we get this, and this is, we have recordings of this cry. We get this weird cry coming from the woods. Like this really, really weird crime. We're like, what the heck was that? And then I'm kind of like, this is really kind of me being selfishly jealous of him getting a response. I said, hey, why don't you throw a stone? Don't hit me, but make it land right beside me. And right away, within a second, here comes a stone through the woods, pop, lands right by my feet. We were just like, what the heck? We were getting red eye shine that night. Crazy night. Crazy night. Anyway, so Chad and I go back after this. And now this is years and years and years of finding stuffed animals there, or finding the original stuffed animals there. I think over the years I might have found some others but didn't have the same symbolic meaning. But anyway, we're walking up, same thing. We're walking up to the cemetery through the woods. There's a guy who has his truck parked there, and he's walking his dog in the graveyard. And I didn't want to scare the guy. I didn't want to just like bust out of the woods. You know, here's two guys, you know, busting into the cemetery. So we just hung back and watched the guy until he left. He was just walking his dog. So we're just kind of hanging back in the woods. He's walking his dog. It's a pug with a red bandana. gets in his truck and leaves. We go and we're just looking around the cemetery, you know, and I'm looking for stuffed animals. We don't see any. And then I walk back in the woods and all of a sudden I say, oh, Chad, here, there is a stuffed animal here. There's a new one.
No.
Comes back in the woods and I'm like, look, and he goes, Tim, look at what kind of stuffed animal it is. I'm like, what? And then I look at it. I was just like excited as a stuffed animal. I didn't really like clock what kind it was. It was a pug with a red bandana. It was the dog the guy was walking in the cemetery.
You know what happens inside my body when I hear something like that? It's the reaction of like an entire football team watching David Blaine do magic tricks right in front of them and the way that they react.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
like my whole body wants to hold myself back and then run out of the room at the same time.
Yeah, it's, and you cannot explain this to people. This is the thing I try to relate to people. You cannot explain, if you have not experienced this, you cannot explain the impact of it.
No, I mean, who better to tell it to?
Yeah, I'm not trying to say I'm special, but unless you experience these kind of synchronicities, I'm telling it to you and I know you get it, right? Because you've experienced it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're one of the few people who would.
But
you know, that's why we get along.
Some people you tell and they're like, so what? It was a stuffed animal. And you're like, no. This is a series of stuffed animals over the years. And this stuffed animal was the one the guy was walking in the that means something. Like, do you not get, like, what are the chances, A, of there being a brand? And this looked brand new, like straight from the store. It looked like it was purchased off the shelf and set in the woods that day. What are the chances of that guy walking a pug with a red bandana and then us walking into the woods and finding the stuffed animal that's a pug with a red bandana on it?
There are no chances of it. And if someone tried to assume that they acted like they didn't even understand why you were telling them, that's when I immediately, like, block them, even if it's in person.
Yeah.
You were removed.
Yeah. It's just bizarre. So, I mean, to me, like, stuffed animals are a weird thing. So when I see a stuffed animal along with the stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's... I mean, I don't know why, but it's weird and it's something.
I mean, you know, you don't have to spend, you can walk one step into my home here and there are dragons that are staring at you from the wall. This place is far from some Dungeons and Dragons crypto arena, but you know, I have performed on stage under said
right, yeah,
monster.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will work because of, I don't ever know what kind of technology is going to work. I don't remember how much of, I haven't shared hardly any of this for obvious reasons, I guess is what I kind of need to, like, come to grips with. My friend circle is very small in terms of people who actually see these things. You usually have to be with me in person. But if I was to tell you that I heard something in the woods, and you know me, and this is during the day, and not that it matters, but what would, like, if I hear something crunching around in the woods and I want to see what's up, could you guess what maybe I would do?
I don't know, just go look for it, or
I mean, I slap my chest.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm sort of, I've been told that I shouldn't do that I'm going to... You know that it it's a very ape behavior, right?
Is there sound associated with this video?
Yes. Okay. Quite. Okay. That starts with me slapping my chest in response, and if you'll just let it roll for 30 seconds.
Was that a tree?
I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. I didn't see one being pushed over, but...
Wow.
You notice, again, that's just that clipped portion. Mm-hmm. I started with that initial, like, me slapping my chest.
I heard, yeah.
Because I had turned my back to the woods, and I, like, spin around on a heel, and I'm like, clack, clack. And I'm sitting there, and again, it's 30 seconds maybe, and as I slap my chest again, the tree is...
That must... So in person, that must have sounded like a cannon going off.
Oh, my gosh! You know, Christian is actually sitting on the edge of the monument behind me. This was really my first time to ever go, like, outside of the monument area. I look back over my shoulder at him, and his eyes are like saucers with his mouth open. You know, it was just, that would be the day that I, you know, there was also a dragon on that monument.
Wow. Yeah. See? Wow. So the reason I know it must have sounded like a cannon is because we were at that place, Harry Springs, again, at nighttime one night, and there's like a forest road, and I was walking down, Chad was kind of poked into the woods a little bit, and I was walking down the forest road. This is about midnight, if I'm remembering correctly. And it sounded like, to me, maybe like a 6-inch diameter tree, not a dead tree, like a healthy tree, was just snapped in half. And it sounded like a shotgun going off.
And right.
It blew me away. But I had my recorder running, and on the recorder, it's like, crack. You know what I mean? Like,
really?
This thing was like a... That's why I'm saying, what you recorded there sounded massive. It must have... When you were there, it must have sounded like a cannon. It must have been massive.
Yeah, and I was looking at it again this morning because I knew that we were going to do this. And what is so shocking to me, and I'm actually... I'm impressed that video came through because that's like 4K, and I even think that's on 60 frame rates per second, which is like Mexican soap opera level, you know? You really should use just 24, by the way, if you're filming in 4K in the woods. 24 is cinema quality. You don't need to use 60 frames per second. It looks weird. Mm-hmm. But it is crystal, crystal clear. It still blows me away that there, nothing in the woods is moving. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't see any, and it sounds like it's right there, right? Like, it's in that.
Yeah.
We don't call them ravines down here. We would call that like a holler. Side note, you know why they call them a holler, Tim?
Well, they were hollows in between two mountains, usually.
No, they call it a holler because can't nobody hear you scream.
Ah, okay.
Well, you've been too down and out to find a curiosity for us.
You'd think that'd be the bare minimum. I could just look around at all the stuff and go, oh, I can take something off of that shelf right now, but I'm kind of at the end of the day. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll give you a pass this week.
This week, yeah. I'll have something ready for next week.
It better be super cool.
Yeah, it better. Yeah,
better
I know.
Be awesome.
I better, I'll be back in the hole, which I did check on, you know, now that the snow's gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a definitive sinking that's going on. Like, we got...
People want hole updates.
Yeah. I think it's time to fill it in.
Mm.
So if you have any, like, gold you want to hide or...
Haunted objects
you just want to throw down the hole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm accepting them now.
All right. Well, people can still support us by buying Strange Familiars merch. You can go to strangefamiliars.com/merch. And there's images there of our merch. You can click on that. It'll take you right to the items in the Etsy shop. You can purchase them there. You can also go to our Etsy shop. There's links in the show notes. Over at Etsy, we have copies of my books. Everything's in stock now. If you get them from us on Etsy, they come signed. You don't even have to ask. I'll sign them before they leave the house. There are less than 10 copies of my art book, Apparitions, Illustrations of the Other, left.
Do you have one saved for us somewhere?
Somewhere. So if you want one, now's the time to get one. But all of my other books are there as well, including Elzik's Farewell, the little book of artwork I've done for Strange Familiars episodes, plus all my other books, Where the Footprints End 1 and 2, which I wrote with Josh Cutchin, Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, Bigfoot West Coast Wild Men, The Witch Cloud, of course, which goes with the audio that we recorded for Strange Familiars, Don't Look Behind You, and Beyond the Seventh Gate. And I'm probably missing something, but all my books are there on Etsy right now. Also at Etsy, like I said, Strange Familiars t-shirts, patches, mugs, stickers, etc. We've got artwork, originals, and prints there. I will be getting the Bigfoot, Big Heart, and Black Dog prints restocked as soon as possible. I need to find time to get to the printer. They print them on special paper for us, so hopefully this week. I know I said last week it would be this week or next, but hopefully maybe this week or next, or maybe the following, depending when I get to the printer. Sometime in March, hopefully, we will get those prints restocked. But there are other prints there now. Bigfoot prints and Mothman print and John Stink print. And there might be one William of the Fiery Flowers left. Maybe. I'm not sure if that's sold out or not. Lots of prints there to buy. Original artwork. Allison has photos there. Paracord rosaries, the Flowered Path t-shirts, all kinds of stuff over there at Etsy. Our shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. And like I said, there's always links in the show notes to our Etsy shop. Well, speaking of books, we've got some books coming up. A series of local books that we've been working on for a while, kind of behind the scenes, and we weren't really ready to announce anything. Should we announce the first one? It's a little ways off yet, but if we buckle down, we might be able to get it out in the next couple months or so. The first of these, think something along the lines of The Witch Cloud. So not a real thick book. These are going to be focused on local paranormal, local history, local things like that. The first one we're doing is going to be on the River Witch of Marietta, so-called River Witch of Marietta. And we've got some new information. I believe we had... For Beyond the Seventh Gate, we dug up information that I don't think anybody else had. A lot of people said her name was Nellie Knoll because that was the name they used for some reason in the Hex book by Arthur Lewis. And people just assumed that was correct. I don't know why he changed her name, but he did.
Yeah.
That wasn't her real name.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were like, oh, I found Nellie Knoll's grave. Okay, you found Nellie Knoll's grave. You didn't find the River Witch's grave. That wasn't her name. We dug up a real name. That information's been out there since we found it. It was in Beyond the Seventh Gate, but we've found more information since then. So it's going to be a look at the River Witch, all the information we could dig up about her, and some associated information as well. That's going to be the first in that little series of books we're doing. My Hermit book is closer and closer to being finished. I'm pretty confident that I can say fall?
Oh, that seems, yeah, more than reasonable.
Fall? I'm working pretty hard on it.
Yeah.
I'm really itching to get it done because I've got a lot of other things I want to write. So the Hermit book is called I Have Never Minded the Loneliness, which I thought was a wonderful quote from one of the hermits. Tons of photos of hermits, tons of illustrations I did, a lot of little artwork, spot illustrations and chapter mastheads and stuff I've done for it. It's
exhaustive.
So far, it's visually my favorite book I've done because it's just, my heart's just really been in this and I'm really kind of excited about this. And hopefully I'm doing these guys justice, you know. I'm doing these people justice. They're not just guys.
Even though 99% of them are...
98, probably. 97%, something like that.
The sad story of all history. 97% male.
There are, but the female hermits in it are generally pretty cool. Like their stories are pretty neat, so, you know.
And you know what? That takes even more.
Yeah, right.
To live by yourself as a woman, you get different issues than to live by yourself
and
as a man.
One of the hermits, the female hermits, I secured a cyanotype photo of her.
Those are the blue ones.
I can't find, so there's information about her.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a sort of a historical monument where she lived, which has a bad drawing of her on it.
But no pictures, really.
I can't find any. I might have the only existing photo of this woman, and it's accurate to what they say. They said she wore wooden shoes.
Is she Dutch?
Yeah, she's wearing wooden shoes in this photograph.
Oh, yeah. That would narrow it down, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so things like that, like, there's a few of these people that I might have
the only
photos of, and it's really... To me, that's really touching. It's really interesting and really, really neat.
And I always feel this big relief, like if something gets published, then I'm like, God, if I lose something, then it's not like the last.
Yeah.
There's some record that is beyond my scope.
And I don't know what that's worth. You know, what is a photo of a super obscure hermitess that, you know, people in one local area probably know about and I care about. What is that word? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Is it, to me, it's nearly priceless because I love it so much and because it's so unique. But is it really worth anything? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I ask myself that a lot as I buy more and more junk.
I think it only matters, like, that's essentially what matters. Mm-hmm. That it means that much to me, I think.
Yeah. And then, like, putting some sort of price on it is sort of crass in its own right, you know?
Yeah. Part of it is feeling like I'm rescuing these people's stories, in a sense. Telling these people stories that may have been forgotten, you know? And I really love doing it. I like doing it, too, with the old Bigfoot reports. I feel like I'm retelling these stories that could have been lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, book's coming out. And after I get the Hermit's book done, I'm going to start hammering away. I've got another few big paranormal projects coming up, including, of course, the Witch Diggers. But I've decided with my next kind of conceptual paranormal book, you know, along the lines of Where the Footprints End, something that's like, I've decided what that's going to be, and I'm going to get to it. So lots and lots on the horizon. That's it for this week. I want to thank everybody for listening. And say we'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. There will be some weeks, because I'm going to be in Indiana, there will be at least one week with no show this month. Unless I somehow pre-record something and get it out. We'll see. I'm going to try. It's possible I could miss 2 weeks, but I'm going to try not to do that. I'm going to try to get everything done and ready and only miss 1 week.
Maybe that week everybody can just re-listen to the old Witch Diggers episode.
Exactly.
In spirit.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon with more. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars. We're on Instagram, @strangefamiliars, one word, no underscore. For merch, it's strangefamiliars.com/merch. And you can find us on the web all the time at strangefamiliars.com.
When I was young, there was a tree. It spoke to me in cracks and creeks upon the breeze. From a branch high in that tree for all to see. It was her ghost that was speaking from that dead tree where she did dwell, weaving her spell. Oh, how I shook with a chill fear to hear strange words as I pass by. Spoke to me. to hear her say, one lonely day. But she had fallen, and her blue wood was cracked and split. More to cream, no more to speak. She called to me, the witch tree. I heard my name on the breeze. She's free, no longer bound on that cursed ground.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.